Well, you know, there's just some things that I'm right about, and you need to get on board with me. What is it? Actually, we're going to be in Philippians today, and I think there's a verse in Philippians. Yeah, Philippians 3:15, and if on some point you think differently, that also God will make clear to you. In other words, I'm right. You can get on board with me. Oh, wow, what a good worship service this morning. Spirit of God is in the house. Just had kind of the image of a dusty, dry season, and then the rain comes down, and it just refreshes and settles the dust and kind of washes out the gullies a little bit. And feels good, doesn't it? Wow. Good worship. Good spirit in the house. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Philippians chapter 4, and I'll get there in a minute, talking about recovering your joy today. And I'm going to start off with this. You know you're going to have a bad day when, you know you're going to have a bad day when you turn on the morning news and they're displaying emergency routes out of the city. Friends in California are going through that right now. You might have a bad day when you have an appointment in 10 minutes and you just woke up. Been there, done that. You are going to have a bad day when you wake up in the morning and your dentures are locked together. You might have a bad day if your twin sister forgets your birthday. You know you're going to have a bad day when you see a 60 Minutes news team waiting in your outer office. And you know you're going to have a bad day when your horn gets stuck following a group of Hell's Angels. You're going to have a bad day. Well, we're going to talk about joy this morning and recovering your joy. And you know, as followers of Christ, we understand that joy and happiness are not the same thing. There's a big difference. Happiness is the feeling you get when things are going well. And we all love to be happy. We love all of our circumstances to be going well. But it's based on circumstance. Joy, on the other hand, is a deep sense of gladness and well-being that is independent of circumstance. No matter what's going on in your life, you can have joy. That is possible. And I believe in all of life's circumstances, it's valuable for us to ask ourselves, am I relying on my happiness, or does my strength come from the joy of the Lord? Because if you are relying on happiness to get you through life, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because life comes at you with a fury sometimes. But we need the joy of the Lord. God wants you to be joyful. And so how do you get your joy back if you feel like perhaps you've lost your joy? Well, here are some ways that don't work. I know I've shared this before. Some of you might remember it. But Neil Eskelin tells us 10 ways to be unhappy. I know you needed a list because you're all so happy all the time that you wanted to know, how could I be unhappy once in a while? Well, here you go. Number one, to be unhappy, make little things bother you. Don't just let them bother you, make them bother you. To be unhappy, lose your perspective on things and keep it lost, so don't put first things first. Here's another one. Find yourself a good worry, one about which you can do absolutely nothing. Here's another way to be unhappy. Are you taking notes? You should be taking, okay. Be a perfectionist. And now, not the kind of perfectionist that makes you want to do your best, but the kind of perfectionist that condemns yourself and everyone else for not achieving perfection. That'll make you unhappy. Another way to be unhappy? Be right. Be always right. Be the only one who is always right, and be rigid in your rightness. To be unhappy, don't trust or believe people or accept them at anything but their worst and weakest. Here's another one. Be suspicious. Insist that others always have hidden motives. Oh, here's a good one. To be unhappy, always compare yourself unfavorably to others. That guarantees instant misery. I thought these were kind of funny. They're true, too. Okay, good. Here's another one. Take personally everything that happens to you. And then don't give yourself wholeheartedly to anyone or anything. All right, enough of that. How do we really recover our joy if we feel like we've lost it? We've been in this place for a while. You know, this issue of joy is really a big deal. And I know I've talked about it from time to time, but really not a lot. And it hit me this week as I was preparing. Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit. And did you know joy is number 2 in the list? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it just really grabbed me this week as I was preparing. Joy is right at the top of the list. And so often, we focus on other aspects of the fruit. And I admit, even as your pastor, that I tend to preach more about faithfulness and patience and those things, and I haven't talked about joy as much, and yet it's at the top of the list. Joy is a big deal. As Christians, we should have joy. And this sermon actually was inspired just by the way my week went. I just had a variety of things that came up about joy, and I felt like God is saying, you need to talk about joy. And so when I get that feeling, yes, sir. So here we are talking about joy. It's a big deal. I'm sure you've heard this acrostic before, but it's good. To have joy, you need to put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Okay? And we'll be talking a little bit more about that. Here's my thoughts. If you reverse that, you get yaj. Years of junk. Yeah, you put yourself first, others second, and Jesus last. Years of junk, okay? But we want to have joy. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to start at verse 4 and just read through verse 7. And would you please stand? This will just take a moment as I read. Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, you may be seated. Now, if you've read the book of Philippians, and I know in-state students, you read it over and over again. That's part of the assignment. The word rejoice actually appears numerous times in this letter. Apparently, the Philippian Christians needed to know about joy and rejoicing. And I believe most of God's people need to hear this reminder again and again. God wants us to be joyful. It's easy for us as believers to let circumstances discourage us. Can I get a witness? Circumstances tend to get us down. The cure for discouragement is to rivet your attention on the Lord and rejoice in Him. Instead of focusing on the circumstances, focus on the Lord. And I think it's significant that Paul here is writing this letter. Paul was a Roman prisoner. Okay? He's in a Roman prison, and yet he is pleading with people who are free to be joyful in their Savior. It seems like it would be the other way around. that the people would be writing to Paul. Oh, Paul, keep your faith. Stay joyful in the Lord. But here's Paul. He's in the middle of a prison sentence, and he's telling them, hey, be joyful. Wow. Paul had something. He understood something. He learned that there can be rejoicing in the Lord even when outward circumstances are difficult. Difficult circumstances of life do not have to take away our joy. If there was anyone who had reason to despair and claim that he was a victim of circumstances, it was Paul. I mean, if you read the book of Acts and some of Paul's letters, the things he went through, if anyone could have a legitimate reason to not be joyful and be discouraged, it was Paul. He went through all kinds of misery. And yet here he is in a prison cell writing to the Philippians, one of the most joy-filled letters you could ever read. And he's encouraging them and us to be joyful. Chuck Swindoll says that joy is a positive attitude we choose to express. It stems from your confidence in God, the belief that he is at work, that he is in full control, that he is in the midst of whatever has happened, is happening, or will happen. So it's really a focus on God. To have joy, we need the proper perspective, the proper posture, and the proper prayer. Let's talk about those. The proper perspective. And this is the Jesus first thing. To have joy, Jesus comes first. And he says here in our text, the Lord is near. And he's really not referring to the imminent return of Christ, although that can spur on some joy for Christians thinking about Christ's return. But what he's really saying is, the Lord is right here with us now. He's close to us. And Paul gives several admonitions in this Philippians letter. And let me just highlight a few. He says, stand fast in the Lord. Be of one mind in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is near. You see, it's all focused on the Lord. He's not focused on his prison sentence and the condition of things in his life, but he's focused on the Lord, and he's encouraging us to focus on the Lord. This is practicing the presence of Christ. It's seeing him in every situation in life and letting him work out his perfect will. God is near to you. He's involved in your life, and he has good plans for you. And we need to try to see him working in our life. That's the proper perspective. Joy is found in God's presence. Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's joy in God's presence. I believe that for me, at least this morning, there was just a special connection with God during the music. And it just stirs something. There's joy in the presence of God. If you lack joy, make a determined effort to spend time in God's presence. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Consider his incredible kindness. Celebrate how great and powerful God is, and you will experience his joy. Enter into his presence. There's joy in God's presence. Joy is found also in God's word. Psalm 119, 111 says, your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. Your statutes, the word of God, is like a heritage. You know, and some of us, some people wish they had a rich old aunt or uncle who would leave them an inheritance. Right? Doesn't that sound great? But the Bible is an inheritance from the Lord, and it's better than gold, and it's been passed down to you. And when we see the Bible as treasure that we have inherited from God, it will help us find joy. Joy is found in remembering your salvation. Psalm 51, verses 9 through 12. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The joy of his salvation. There's joy when we remember that he saved us. Remember when you really understood all that Christ had done for you? And how that sparked something in your heart? He rescued you from the flames of hell, and he welcomes you into his glory. Those thoughts produce joy when you think about that. I mean, when you really stop and think about it. I was on the road to hell's flames, but Jesus rescued me, and now I'm on the road to the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity. Woo! That ought to fire up some joy. And that takes me to my next thought. Joy is produced by righteous hope. Proverbs 10:28, the hope of the righteous brings joy. What is hope for the righteous? For the Christian, hope is the anticipation that God will do something good. God has done good to us through his son Jesus, and he will continue to do good in more ways than we can count. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I've said this many times. God always has your best in mind. Always. Sometimes we look at our circumstances and think that God must have forgot about us. Or God must be angry at us. But that is never true. God is always looking out for your best interests. Okay? Now, as a parent, you understand that sometimes the best thing for your kids isn't always the most enjoyable thing for your kids, but it's the best thing for them. And that's how God looks at us. He always has the best in mind for us. So develop the habit of anticipating God's goodness in your life and realizing God is being good to you. And you will have joy. So the proper perspective is Jesus first. Then the proper posture has to do with others second. Here in our text it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. You could translate that sweet reasonableness. If you feel yourself getting angry with someone, let your sweet reasonableness shine through. Warren Wiersbe comments about this, and he says, it's wonderful when Christians can have convictions and yet be easy to get along with. I like it. And he says, if we keep in mind that the Lord is with us in every circumstance, then it's easy to obey him and get along with other people. Jesus first, others second, the proper posture. Joy is found in promoting peace with others. Proverbs 12:20 says, there is deceit in the hearts of those who plot evil, but joy for those who promote peace. If you promote peace, there's joy in store for you. So how do you promote peace with others? Put them first. That's a very good way to promote peace with others. Put them first. And the Bible bears that out. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Philippians 2, 1 through 4, I like the way this one is written. It says, if you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Put others first. And many of you who are, some of you actually make it a career out of ministering to other people, like at a nursing home or something like that. And others just kind of love to come alongside and be a helping hand to people. And when you do that, you realize that there's joy in helping other people. Right? I mean, sometimes I'll admit, because that is not exactly my best gifts, okay? But when I do, it stirs something in me, okay? It's like this. Somebody asks for help, and I might be a little busy and not really too gung-ho about helping, but I decide to help. Guess what happens? I feel good about helping, right? And I think most of you understand that. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you give and you help and you put others first, you get blessed. Yeah. I still remember the very first time I traveled to Tijuana, and we put on a vacation Bible school, and we were there to minister to those needy people. But guess what happened? I got blessed. Here we are trying to reach out to them and bless them, and I think we did, but God blessed us. Wow. That's just the way God's economy works. Ephesians 4, 2, and 3 goes on about this, says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And then listen, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Proper posture. Joy is found in promoting peace with other people. Joy is found in remembering how God works through the people in your life. Philippians 1, 3 through 5 says, I thank my God for you every time I think of you. And every time I pray for you all, I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now. Paul is thinking about these Philippians and what an impact they've made on his life, and it stirs joy in his heart. Are there people in your life that have been a blessing to you? When you think about how they have touched your life, that'll stir up some joy. When I think about the people God has put in my life, who they are and what they've done, it stirs some joy in me. And a lot of those people are right here in this room that have touched my life in one way or another. And I'm thankful that God has put you in my life. So refuse to focus on the unkind words and hurts that have come to you from other people. Instead, spend your time thanking God for the people who have developed you, encouraged you, served with you, and you will have joy. Now, here's the truth. Anytime there's a group of people, there's going to be conflict from time to time. You ever notice that? Peculiar, isn't it? Yeah. That's just the way life is. Now, we can focus on whatever those issues might be, or we can choose to focus on the better side of things. That very same person who might rub you wrong, probably there was another time that they blessed you and encouraged you. Let's focus on that instead. So, Jesus first, others second, and then yourself. And let's talk about the proper prayer. Talk to God. Tell him what's on your mind. Joy is found in answered prayer. John 16, 24 says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. That's the word of God. Answered prayer brings joy. But you can't have answered prayer if you don't pray. And you won't pray as much if you don't have a prayer time. So make time to pray, and you are making room for joy. Warren Wiersbe again comments, and he says, not just praying, but right praying. And he goes on and says, the Bible nowhere says that just any kind of praying will bring peace to our hearts. So what is right praying? It begins with adoration, for that's the word, what the word prayer means in verse 6. This is love, enjoying the presence of God, honoring him in worship. And he says, rushing into his presence and begging for peace of mind will never get results. We must bow before him in worship and let him search our hearts and minds. Next comes petition, which means the earnest, sincere desire of the heart. True prayer comes from the heart, not just the lips. And he says, what a joy it is to present our requests to him. So when we come to God, we don't just come and say, Lord, give me joy. But we come to God and say, Lord, I love you. I worship you. You're so good. And then we begin to shift and ask for him to work in our lives. Because just putting him first in our focus already is accomplishing some results in our hearts and minds. And then joy is found in always being thankful. This is probably the most important thing for you to remember today. Psalm 95, verse 1 through 3 says, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. We come before him with thanksgiving. Now, there are a lot of Christians who treat God like a great ATM, an automatic teller machine in the sky. And it's, gimme, gimme, gimme. Oh, God, why don't you love me? Why do you hate me? I don't have a new car like so-and-so. My house isn't as big and so-and-so's. Why? What have I ever done to you? I go to church most Sundays. I drop $10 in the plate, and I don't cuss in front of ladies and small children like the good book says. Why don't you just give me, give me, give me? Well, please understand that God wants us to be grateful for what he has done for us. If we're not grateful, we don't appreciate what he has done for us. He wants our thanks and praise more than he wants any other kind of sacrifice. Did you know that? God doesn't, he doesn't need your money. He doesn't necessarily want your money. He doesn't necessarily want the song that you're singing, but he wants a grateful heart. He wants your heart. And thankfulness is important. It's good for us to be thankful. An ungrateful heart will invariably be a joyless heart. If you're not grateful for anything, you're just going to be miserable. I should have added that to the list at the beginning. You want to be unhappy? Don't be thankful for anything. Guaranteed misery. In fact, here's one of the things that prompted this sermon today. I shared this on Facebook this week. Life-changing joy begins with life-changing gratitude. It's true. I didn't make that up. I just found it and thought it was good, so I shared it. Life-changing joy begins with life-changing gratitude. Now, Mom and Dad, I promise I don't do this just because you're here. Okay? This was already in my notes before I knew you were even going to be here. But my grandma was one of the most joyful ladies you would ever meet. Laughing, sense of humor. She'd get up and do the Charleston once in a while just to be silly, you know, all of that. And she was known for playing the glad game. Now, understand, she went through the Depression and some very hard times in her life. And what she would do when things were getting down in her life, she would begin the glad game. And simply all that meant was she would begin to express gratitude for something. Well, I'm thankful for my husband. you might say. Or I'm thankful that I got food for lunch. Might not be much, but I got something. And she just began to build and build and build with gratitude, and pretty soon she'd be glad. The glad game. I think we can do the same thing. What are some things you are thankful for? Your family. Friends. Bibles. Oh, brothers. Hey, that's a good one, man. I'm glad you said that. Food. Naomi, I am too, man. What else? Come on, folks. I'm sorry? Your apartment. I heard several all at once. A car. Travel, I think, maybe. A cat? You're thankful for cats? Well, okay, you all be thankful for dogs. You be thankful for cats. What else? Friends, Jesus. Your hands. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Here's another one for you. I don't know if you can quite see that, but I got a little wrap on my finger. And I commented to Naomi this week, it's funny how kind of bad things can give you a different perspective. I was working on a table saw this week. Yes, I did. And I was doing it. I wasn't being stupid, okay. But nonetheless, the board got a little bit out of control and the saw bit me. I have 9 stitches in my finger. Okay? But I was commenting to Naomi how, you know, I could be pretty bummed out about that finger. You know, and it hurt and it looks ugly. It's going to take a while to heal. I'm not going to be able to play bass for a while, and I love to play bass and all of that. But I am thankful that it didn't cut it clear off. You know? Honestly, I'm not just, those aren't just cheap little words that I'm throwing out there. Seriously, I'm thinking that could have easily cut that bugger clear off. And I'm thankful that it didn't. So what else are we thankful for? A brain. That's good. For me, oh. A church. Gardens. Yeah. Good food to eat. A home. Good health. Doctors. Iowa sweet corn. You bet. Bacon. Now see, you're getting the hang of it. And you notice what's happening already? I'm seeing smiles on faces. I'm hearing laughter. And it's all just because we're beginning to express some gratitude. See how that works? We're not complaining about our problems. We're being thankful for the good things God has done in our life. Praise the Lord. Now we're going to end with a fun time here, and we're going to sing a song which stems from Nehemiah 8:10. You can begin it. It says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." This is an oldie, but it'll probably be new to some of you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. It fills my mouth with laughter. Ah, ha, 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 ha. It fills my mouth with laughter. Ah, ha, 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 ha. It fills my mouth with laughter. Lifted up today. And that you can experience the joy of the Lord. And in case you have those times when you are struggling experiencing the joy of the Lord, remember some of these things. A proper perspective. Put Jesus first. Enter into his presence. Get into his word. A proper posture. Put others next in line. And put them ahead of yourself. And then a proper prayer. Always being thankful for for what God has done in your life. Let's be joy-filled believers. Amen? All right, God's blessings on you. Before you go, why don't you express some gratitude to some people that have touched your life? Have a great week. We'll see you. You bet.